Here's a good question from Bhakta Peter in Hungary. We'll translate it also into English. He says, I used to be a devoted Christian, then the Bhagavad Gita deepened my faith in God and helped me to understand the Bible better. Today I'm chanting 16 rounds, following the regulative principles, and having a Vaishnava morning program daily. But sometimes I feel sad because I've been Christianed, which is an unbreakable eternal connection with Jesus Christ, like the Vaishnava initiation is with Guru and Krishna. But Vaishnavas do not accept that Christ is one in substance with Krishna, and they do not accept redemption. This is somewhat disturbing me. Please help me. How should I be thinking? Interesting, isn't it? Well, Bhakta Peter, I don't think that your situation is unique in that many of our devotees all came from Judeo-Christian backgrounds, and some came from Hindu backgrounds, a few from real Vaishnava background. And I know that I was also confirmed. I had my confirmation. And also I was, I think, Christianed as a youth. But the perspective that I've always had about coming to Krishna consciousness was the one that we learned from Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is to see actually the universality of religions rather than the distinction between them, and what is the overall message that one God is giving us through many religions. There are certain teachings that are universal and therefore common to all religions, and then there are other traditions, language, rituals that vary from one to the other. These are not eternal, but rather these are temporary. And these shouldn't be an obstruction for one's forward progress towards what Srila Prabhupada would always coin as knowing God and loving God. So we too came to Krishna consciousness, sometimes as a natural evolution. We saw that the teachings of Christianity indicated that we should go further in terms of knowing about God's person, knowing about the science of loving God, and that was given to us in Krishna consciousness. Others perhaps came to Krishna consciousness because they were dissatisfied that many of their philosophical questions were not really amply fulfilled, and that the eternal religious principles of Christianity had become too overshadowed by sectarianism, by rituals, and too much compromise had actually been made with materialistic way of life, like accepting evolution and so on, as opposed to a creationist concept of God. So, and of course, a combination of both of those, both natural development as well as dissatisfaction. And if we see like that, that this is actually a natural evolution, one which all religious leaders, Jesus Christ and Muhammad and Krishna, all have a common support for, is that the followers of religion situate themselves in that religious institution in which they feel that they can best know and love God, and thus perfect their human form of life. When we talk about things like a christening, which takes place for a newly born baby. This is not an eternal religious principle. And neither is this equivalent to, for instance, the initiation or the commitment that a devotee makes at the time of initiation. It's not an eternal religious principle because it's not a two-way commitment. A newly born child is incapable of committing himself to the church. The church may be opening itself up and willing to accept this child for training, and that is certainly wanted or needed. But it's not establishing an eternal commitment or bond, because such a thing happens instead more at the time of confirmation rather than at the time of christening. And even then, if at christening we've made a commitment to know God and to serve through Jesus Christ, if that leads us to actually serving God through Krishna consciousness, we've not cheated or betrayed Christ, but rather that we fulfilled the real purpose of that confirmation, or in the Jewish religion, bar mitzvah, where we've made a commitment, and the commitment there is to the principle through the person. If the commitment is just to the person of Moses, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, then we're talking about a personality cult. But rather, the commitment is to God, through God's representatives. And that becomes the real essence of religion. As an example, you purchase a computer in London. Say you purchase an Apple computer. You can have that computer serviced anywhere in the world. It doesn't have to be serviced only in London, because you've made a commitment to the company itself. You're not being unfaithful by taking your computer somewhere else other than the store that you bought it in. So similarly, as long as you service and are faithful to the eternal principles of religion and are progressing towards God, then whether you acquire knowledge of God through one teacher or another, that's fine. As long as the real thing is happening, as long as you're learning how to love God. As far as these two philosophical points, one of them is Christ one with Krishna or God, and the other one is about redemption. We see that God is one with Krishna, but at the same time he's different. We don't say that there's an absolute oneness. When we talk about Krishna being one with God, then there's an absolute oneness there. When we talk about Jesus Christ being one with God, we see that there's a oneness in terms of his being the representative of God, the Son of God, but we also see that there's a difference, is that he's actually a different personality. That is our understanding. That God is God, and whoever it may be, whatever his representative may be, then by being one with the teachings and the orders of the Lord, that oneness exists, but there's also a simultaneous difference in that there's a different person, personality. And that's very important. Otherwise, we fall victim to a kind of deviant philosophy where one deifies the representative of God, which is not a good principle. The other one about redemption, actually, Vaishnavas believe in redemption because this is Krishna's statement at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, "Aham tum saru papebhyo," I will say, save you from sin. And similarly, Krishna's representative may also free us from the sinful activities that performed in the past. However, here we have to be clear about what type of redemption we're talking about. In the same way that Jesus Christ was willing to accept the sinful activities of past sinful activities of those who come to Christianity, Krishna is also willing to do those for those who come to Krishna consciousness. However, Krishna expects that we give up our sinful conduct, our sinful behavior. We also interpret that when Jesus Christ is his savior, is the savior of Christians, he's the savior of Christians who follow his other instructions about not sinning, not the savior of Christians who continue to commit sinful activities. Instead, that's considered to be an offense to the very essence of spiritual practice. Nam na ubalad yasyaki kapa buddhi navidyate yasya jamehi shuddhi navidyate yasya jamehi shuddhi. There's no yama, there's no types of penance or austerities that you can perform that will actually purify you from this type of sinful behavior. It is a sinful behavior to let your representative of God suffer for your sins, or to think that he's going to suffer eternally for their sins. It's a highly mistaken concept. So Krishna and spiritual master will forgive us for past sinful activities prior to having come to Krishna consciousness, provided that we stop our sinful ways and actually conduct ourselves in a gentlemanly manner. And that is not an unreasonable definition, even by Christian standards. I've spoken to many who accept that, even though they may espouse weakness in terms of their ability to put it into practice. So in summary, Dr. Peter shouldn't feel guilty for having abandoned Christianity in any way, because the eternal principles of religion can never be abandoned. It is just that they're practiced in a different format. If we abandon certain traditions, cultural traditions that have sort of brought us to the eternal principles, that's fine. Just like, for instance, Srila Prabhupada received Upanaya Diksha. Some family guru gave him initiation. Srila Prabhupada didn't consider that to be of any substance. He didn't consider that that was a real connection either with Krishna or spiritual master, because it was really a ritual, and a ritual minus the actual essence of religion is meaningless. So we could see that, for instance, in Srila Prabhupada's own personal example, he also made a transition from one religious teacher to another, and he didn't see any difficulty with that, but rather he saw that it was a natural progression. I hope that resolves whatever confusion or disturbance is there for Bhakta Peter, and helps him realize that by becoming Krishna conscious and practicing Krishna consciousness, he's very much pleasing Jesus Christ. And of course, if there are any Christian rituals that and practices that he wants to continue, then there's absolutely no bar from being able to do any of those. As, for instance, when we purchased our temple in Toronto, Srila Prabhupada was, in order to pacify the previous Christian priests from whom we bought the temple, he was willing to install a deity of Jesus Christ on the altar and have us worship it. So within one's home, that increases and makes someone more peaceful at heart in terms of their previous commitments to Christianity, then by all means do it. Krishna will not feel slighted in any way. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.